This week's episode is sponsored by Gozinta. Gozinta connects your systems together to make sure you enter your data once and it goes into all the systems that it should. Find out more at atmsp.link/Gozinta.
I'm currently moving data for a client from one failing Synology to a brand new Synology. And the failing Synology, it's not even that it's like, it's ridiculous how badly it's failing because it's not the drive that's dead. It's the board, like the connector on the board is dead. Like every new drive we put into this slot does not work. And it has been months because when it happened, we weren't ready for it to happen. And he was still like dilly-dallying on things. We finally got all the stuff together and we got all the parts because we're doing a big thing. My guy is there now working on it. But he only has 1 gig output on it and he's got like 80 terabytes of data. And so we're using rsync to move it over, but it's like taking forever. The new box we got him is on the 10 gig network. The other box that we're merging into it is also on the 10 gig network. So the first box, we've only moved like 20 terabytes of data over the last 4 days, where the second box that we're moving in, which is on the 10 gig network, has already moved 4 terabytes in the last 3 hours. And so we thought we would put a 10 gig card in that first box. So we took out what was in there, a PCI card, put that in, and the entire volume wouldn't mount because apparently the guy who built it built an SSD cache as part of the main volume. And so without the SSD cache, so now we're stuck. We have all 4 1 gigabit cables in there and we have them bonded on both the Synology side and the network side. But this is where a lot of people get this wrong. Just because you have 4 1 gigabit cables doesn't mean you're moving at 4 gigabits per second. You're running at 4 separate 1 gigabit networks. So I have 2 rsyncs going. Both of those are getting 1 gigabit. And I'm manually copying stuff from folders that won't rsync because Synology's rsync is hella broken to the desktop of the computer I'm using to manage terminal to do the rsyncs. And then that has a 10 gig connection on Thunderbolt and I'm putting it back onto the new box at 10 gig. So I'm downloading a 400 gigabyte file or folder. It's taking 3 hours to download and it takes 7 minutes to put back. It's ridiculous. It's draining. And like, I said to the guy, I was like, listen, there's nothing we can do. You waited so long and didn't heed our warnings. The price you pay. We need a graphic like the price you pay instead of like the more you know.
Yeah, because I mean, that absolutely happens all the time, right? We tell people what they need to do, but then they don't do it. And they're like, well, you told me it was going to cost $5,000 when you told me I needed to do it. Well, that's when it wasn't an emergency and after it was broken.
And it's hella broken.
Right.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the All Things MSP podcast. My name is Justin Escar. With me always is my good friend, podcast producer, extraordinaire, pirate, and keeper of the red light and blue light, Mr. Eric Anthony. Eric, what's up, buddy?
Oh, making fun of my lights again, eh?
No. Trust me. I have no right to make fun of your lights, considering the fact that I have the Elgato key lights, which we've mentioned before, are basically lights that you get on Temu, because they, on a Mac, if you don't know this, in order to control these lights, you turn them on, you reset them, you connect to their Wi-Fi, and then it uses the AirPort utility, which for whatever reason is still on a Mac, to connect it back to your actual Wi-Fi. Now, in theory, that's a great concept, but in practicality, it works one out of every, 17 times. I had a light, my secondary light, that one right there, was off for a week when I went away, and I came back, and I couldn't get it to reset, so I just left it on. And then one day, out of nowhere, I click on my Wi-Fi menu on my computer, and it, Elgato key light, just broadcasting a blank network, just there. Luckily, not any of my neighbors are in IT and knew what to do with it. But it just ran. And then to make it even weirder, they're only supposed to work on 2.5 and it 100% just connected to my 5 gigahertz network. So I have one light on 2.5. I have one light on 5 gigahertz. Elgato support is like,
buy a teleprompter.
We're like, all right, I got that too. That's not helping me with this. Like, I have such a love-hate relationship with those guys. But that's not what we're here to talk about today.
No, but we do love the teleprompter, so.
I really do, and I thank you. For those who don't know, Eric, I've been planning on teleprompters for a long time. Eric bought me the Elgato teleprompter, and I, you know what it is? I moved it closer. So now my frame of view. And actually, my president, Lauren, I was on a call with her today, and she goes, you look a lot sharper today. Like, your camera looks so much better than normal. And I was like, are you telling me that I look uglier today than I normally do? real quick, I know we're going to get into MSP stuff. The Apple Vision Pro, as the time of this recording, just updated its OS from 1.02 to 1.1. And in the 1.1 update was a new personas update. And it's supposed to make your persona look better. And I still look like if I was Vin Diesel's grandfather. I don't know what's wrong with this piece of software. And granted, it says beta, and Apple's not known for like really putting out betas. But like, if literally every person I call, if I have like FaceTime and I have the persona on and I'm calling up an Apple buddy who has an AVP, and I'm like, dude, persona. And he's like, persona. And I, the second we see each other, we just start cracking up laughing.
Yeah.
Cause they look horrible.
Well, because I mean, you very accurately described it, right? As Vin Diesel's grandfather. Cause I've seen it. You've shown me, you know.
Oh yeah. I should be mine. Yeah.
You've done that demo for me. Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, definitely looks. Yeah.
It's not good. Something but here up. We are today. Talk about, here's a real question that you had posed to me, which is, what is an MSP and how do you tell your clients? And I don't know. And I don't know. Thanks very much for listening. Check us out. No, I'm just kidding. I find this question really, really funny. I'm going to tell a quick anecdote because I wouldn't be me if I didn't. Clients don't know what MSP means, right? It's not a client facing term. It's an industry term. Only we call each other MSPs, right?
Right.
And even at that, I know a lot of Apple consultants who do not call themselves MSPs because they honestly believe that it has a PC connotation. And then I know a lot of PC MSPs who only call themselves MSPs, not because they're doing MSP work, but because they're doing monthly recurring revenue. So like, there's a lot of issues there. All of that being said, I had a potential new client come to me a couple years ago, and they were like, we're looking for a new MSP. And I was like, how do you know what that term is? And so I was like, listen, we're not your traditional MSP because X, Y, and Z. We do this, we do that, we do Mac, we do this. And their answer to me was, oh, so are you not an MSP? And I'm like, I don't think you know what MSP means. Because it was like a law firm or something like that, right? Like, they shouldn't be using that terminology. Get out of here, fuzzy things in my face. They shouldn't be using that terminology. Like, it's weird. It was weird to me to hear someone say, are you not an MSP? And I'm like, I am, but like, not in the way you think I, like, what do you, excuse me, sir, what do you think an MSP is? You know what I mean? It was just weird.
Yeah.
So when you pose this question, I was like, oh, we should get into this. Because I've had friends who have had this philosophical problem for years. I have a good friend who lives in Australia. Shout out to Mike Thompson of Origin 84, who, I don't remember what event we were at, but we were going out to dinner somewhere. And he was like, I hate the term MSP because, like, what are you managing? You're not managing their internet, right? You're managing the network. And the network's not a service. It's a product. And, like, so, like, it gets a little weird. And I think even on this show, you and I have talked about this, where like, it shouldn't really be called MSP. It should be called ITSP. But even at that, yeah. I'm blowing up our own brand by saying all of this.
Well, but so, and you know, the branding of this is not your fault because you weren't here back then. So I'm not, you know, nobody can blame that one on you. That one's absolved. All on me.
The judge has made his ruling.
And you're right. I mean, technically, if you described it better, it would be an IT service provider, I think.
Right.
Or the other term that gets thrown around is technology service provider, which I think for some people may be more accurate.
Yeah.
And that's why I came up with the question, right? Because there is this thing of what does MSP mean? Because it means a whole lot of different things to a whole lot of different people. But most importantly, because, you know, we'd like to talk about the business problems here, right?
Yeah.
How do you explain it to clients? Do you even explain it to clients? But most importantly, what do you call yourself so that clients understand what you do just by saying what you are? Or is that even a thing?
Well, it's a lot easier for me being an Apple consultant because
I'm
literally an Apple consultant. I'm on the Apple. I'm a member of the Apple Consultants Network. So for me, it's a lot easier than I would say for a lot of Windows-based MSPs. I do find that a lot of Windows-based MSPs use the term managed service provider on their website. They shouldn't, because what services are you managing? But like managing, and I'm putting this in air quotes for anyone who's not watching at youtube.com/@allthingsmsp. Managing an Office 365 tenancy for somebody are you quantifying Office 365 as the service for which you are managing? Because at that point, what are you really doing? Like, you're adding a user and minusing a user and adding a distribution group. Because like in reality, what are you doing day to day? It's not like you're day to day in it, or you're PowerShell coding every day, or you're doing all this stuff. You're not. And if you are, please, facebook.com/group/allthingsmsp and be like, Justin, you're wrong. Because I've yet to find someone who is, right?
Yeah.
To say that you're managing those services is weird, because really most MSPs are actually managing the computer, taking care of the computer. We went from break-fix to MSP mainly because of the financial model. And that's where I think the term is not correct. Yes, you could do managed services. You could be doing nothing. I have a contact who does, he calls it vendor relations, right?
Right.
His job is to, he goes to his clients, he finds out what they're needing. Like, he had a client who was looking for a Ubiquiti person. He found us, and then we took it with the client. He managed that relationship.
Right.
We are a service provider. He's really he's managing the service provider. He's an MSP.
Okay, if you want to call it that.
But like to say, like, I fixed your printer and I'm going to charge you $10 a month to make sure your printer doesn't break. Now I'm an MSP. You're not.
Right. So I think there's a lot of different things here. Now I would define a managed service provider as a managed IT service provider. Someone who basically serves as the outsourced IT department.
Sure.
Of a business. That's my definition of MSP. It's not necessarily the definition. It's my definition. Now, what you described as vendor relations, I would almost peg as a virtual CIO, right?
Okay. Yeah, I get that.
It's the person for the organization who's managing all of the relationships with the people who are either supplying a product or supplying a resource or a service.
Right.
And so there's, you know, and then you have break fix. You have hybrid, which is somewhere in between, right? There's a lot of, and this is why it's so confusing, because there is no industry standard.
The bigger problem that I have is that people think that they're MSP mainly because they're doing recurring revenue. I like what you were saying earlier about an MSP is someone who's doing virtual IT services, you know, your outsourced IT services, which is where we fall in and a lot of us fall in. But you could do that and still be considered break fix. Like, I have friends who are only paid hourly. They do not have any monthly recurring revenue. They're still technically outsourced IT. They just get paid when they do work. They don't consider themselves an MSP by what the, you know, group definition is.
Right.
So like,
because there's a separation between the billing model.
Right.
And how you actually perform the service.
Right, right. And so just because like you're offering a service that your client is paying for doesn't mean that makes you a man. I think, let's see.
All right. Well, let's pause right there for just a second to recognize our sponsor this week, Gozinta. Your computer should work for you, not you for your computer. Gozinta Mobius connects ConnectWise Manage to QuickBooks Online to generate invoices and update Manage with payment status. Goes into connects your systems together to make sure you enter your data once, and it goes into all the systems that it should. Find out more at atmsp.link/GoZinta.
I think, let's see. Well, let me ask you a question, right? Okay. I had a client that we set them up with a VoIP provider. And we added on a fee to their bill for managing the VoIP. And with that was all the VoIP changes, managing all the prompts, dealing with the jitter, dealing with most months we didn't have to do anything, but we were managing the VoIP. We were managing the VoIP service. MSP, yes or no? Just that one line item. MSP, yes or no?
According to my definition, for if that's all you were doing,
yeah,
no,
right. But we were, but if I then say I'm taking care of 30 computers and taking care of the users of said computers and dealing with the computer problems, and I'm charging you monthly for it, MSP, yes or no?
According yes, because now you're doing the whole IT department thing,
right?
Right. And now I don't care. I don't care if you're billing monthly or if you're billing hourly.
Fine. Okay. But I'm going to say what you, I'm going to flip you because this is the way the game is played, right? This is how real professionals do radio. I'm going to say it's the opposite. I'm going to say taking care of the computers is not MSP. That's break fix, no matter what your billing model is. And I'm going to say managing the phone service is MSP because that is literally managed services. And so, but like it's the fact that I have one definition and you have another, and I'm sure Mark Copeman has a different one, and I'm sure that Dave Cava has another one, and I'm sure that Alex Ramazzi doesn't know what an MSP is. Sorry, I just have a lot of books on my desk right now.
And I just ordered another one, but I didn't know if you already had it, so I didn't order it for you too.
Which one?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Great.
Buying back your time.
Don't have it. You can send me that one too.
Okay.
But my point here is that like everyone's definition is different. I think what might be helpful is let's maybe set some new rules for ATMSP, right? And let's make some definitions. I don't mean rules for people to follow. I mean like rules within the world, right? We could be the ones to set that definition, because what's funny is that you and I have different, we completely have opposite sides of this, but I think, and we'll probably have to do this off air because God knows how long this call episode is going to be, right? Where we can set some definitions around what these things are, because in my MSP model, and it's funny, is last week I had a full director's call. I had some people here and we had some people on Zoom, and we went through the new pricing plan. And the question was, we have a line item in our sales sheet that's called virtual CTO services, right? And for that, it really means we want a seat at the table. And I can tell you right now that a good amount of my clients still do not have a sit at the table, whether that's us not pressing on them or them not even having a table to sit at, doesn't matter. But that virtual CTO or fractional CTO item, does that quantify within the MSP definition? Because I think that's super important.
I think it does.
No matter what your billing model. Because I think we have to decouple, and I think everyone needs to decouple the what you are, MSP, from the MRR, monthly recurring revenue. Your revenue model should not dictate what your categorization is.
Right. Because you could do it either way. Now, I'm not going to get into the pros and cons of MRR versus hourly versus block time and all of that. I don't care when it comes to managing the IT service. Right. All I care about is that you are actually managing all of the IT for that business. Now, to me, yes, that includes having a seat at the table. Because if there were an internal IT department, there would be somebody from that internal IT department sitting at that table.
Yeah, absolutely. I do believe that a seat at the table, and I think managing all of the IT, I was always I've always been really quick to say we take care of everything from the internet line in, right? Like, because especially in New York City where we can't physically touch things in buildings because of labor laws.
Right.
I've always said, like, where Spectrum or Verizon starts, or sorry, where they end is where we begin.
Mm-hmm.
But then even at that, I have companies that have, you know, big giant printers with that are managed by big printing companies. Well, we don't,
right.
We don't manage their printers to a degree. We make sure the printers work with the computers, but then we'll call the printer company when something's broken, or tell our client, call the printer company because something's broken.
Right. And see, the point at which you're the one calling Spectrum or you're the one calling the printer company, I think that falls under managed services.
Absolutely. But then so does taking care of the phone system that I talked about earlier.
Which I agree with.
Right. So it really comes down to, I do not believe, though, that if you're just managing Office 365 tenants, you're an MSP. I have a problem, you know what? Because I, to be honest, I can and bleep this. Fucking hate Microsoft. Why is it called Microsoft 365? It's more like 362 on a good year. Like, it's not. Like, let's be honest here. Side note: the day we're recording this, someone just sent me this article that, like, it made the news. Like, Russian hackers hacked Microsoft again. Where is this? What's the article? Russian hackers breached key Microsoft systems. Cool. Thanks, Microsoft. Okay, so we still have to figure out really what the definition is. And I think you and I can talk about this offline.
Well, and we'll I think this is a great opportunity for a poll in the group.
Yeah. Stick so a poll in.
We will talk about it, and then we will put up a poll, and then we will talk about the poll at some later date.
See, this is, for those who are not paying attention, this is how you make content. What you do is you spin something up and then you let the audience do all the hard work and then you just go back and repeat what the audience said. And that's called content making. Way to go, influencers. That's Justin's tidbit of the day. How do you explain it to clients, though, I think is a really big one. Because
yeah,
going back to what I said earlier, I think MSP is an industry term and I don't think anyone should be saying it to clients. And I think anyone who has it on their website should remove it because clients don't know what that means. They really don't get it. And for a lack of a better terminology, because I've been saying this for many years, is you need to pander to the lowest common denominator of human being. Like, your website should speak in English, not technical, right? Like, If unless you have like a niche and you're like, I'm only going to target doctors, your website should be in doctor speak. If you're targeting art, you know, design firms, your website should speak in design speak. If you're targeting nonprofits, your website better talk about CapEx and OpEx because that's a big nonprofit thing, right? Don't talk about managed services because your clients don't know what it is. Unless of course, you're targeting clients who have a CTO. Which small to medium businesses don't.
Right, right. Which could happen because, you know, MSPs are moving up market, especially with co-managed IT. So, which is a whole nother definition. But I, you know, you saw my face there at the beginning when you started answering that.
No, I didn't because I'm only listening to this in my car. I'm not watching this on youtube.com/@allthingsmsp.
Yes, but you, as we're recording this, anyway.
I know. Let's get myself out of it.
Yeah. But you followed up really well, because basically, the lowest common denominator thing I have an issue with, because you should always be aiming at your ideal customer profile. And I think that kind of trumps. Now, it can be the lowest common denominator inside of your ideal customer profile. Your niche.
Yeah, okay, fine, fair. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to, you're not writing this for like, for an 8-year-old to read because an 8-year-old's not paying you, right? It's the right. Lowest common denominator of who you're targeting,
right?
And at their level, right? Yeah. If you want to be, I don't know, I'm making this up. If you want to be the MSP for farmers, like, there better be a yee, I'm being stereotypical. Hey, there better be a yee-haw in there.
Be somewhere. Careful where you go with this.
There better be a mention to, like, I can manage the audit. You know what? we have a farmer as a client. I'm not lying. And I take care of his Mac, and he runs Parallels on it, and he runs this farming software that's on it that has not been updated since 1998, 99. Yeah. And we've had serious conversations about that piece of software and whatever it is. And I love managing him. But like, I'll tell you this, he yeehaws me a lot on the phone. But like, if I wanted more of those clients, you have to talk about that particular type of software. I understand. I forget what it's called. Farm Manage version 2, whatever it is. Like, that should be your website. If you want to target farmers,
yeah,
talk about that software. Talk about AI inside of the new crop duster or whatever. I forget. What are the ones with the long lines at the back of it and the...
I don't know.
I watched Clarkson's Farm and I knew it all then. I haven't seen it since. But like, that's where it's at. Talk in their talk, yep, at their lowest point. Stop doing the... And stop saying like, we manage it all. You don't.
No, because that can actually get you in trouble. I mean, yeah, there was somebody that was sued because, and successfully sued, by the way, because they mentioned that they took care of all of it. Guess what? They had a ransomware breach, and that fell under, they didn't take care of all of it.
Yeah. I feel like that's one major advantage we have as Apple consultants than Windows consultants is... I mean, knock on every piece of wood I have in this house. Ransomware hasn't made it to the Mac yet, which has been super great because whenever we get a support ticket from someone and they're like, I got ransomware on my Mac. And I go, just hit Command Q on your keyboard. Cause it's like a window in like Safari or Chrome or something like that. Right. You saved the day.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
it's true.
But yeah, you shouldn't be talking to your clients about it. You should be talking in your clients' form. You should be talking to your clients about their needs. And you should be, if you don't have this skill, and I'll find, this is true. If you don't have this skill, you need to find someone who has this to either A, coach you, or B, hire. Because there are many, many of us who are one-person shops who can't tone down the technical to speak in the common human, right?
Right.
Like, and like, that's okay if you don't. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but like, you're going to have a hard time explaining things to clients. Like, imagine trying to explain SPF, DKIM, and DMARC to clients, right? When you can't articulate that in a more, I always say it this way. If you can't explain it to my mom, you know what I mean?
Or my mom.
Or your mom, right?
Let's not pick on your mom. It's all mom. It's okay.
I have a problem saying your mom. but like, that's the thing. So like, it's that same thing where if you can't speak about what you do in that language, work on it or hire someone who can to be like you're an account manager or something. You know what I mean? Because that's where you're going to lose people. And it's the same thing. If you're trying to explain to somebody what an MSP is, you're going to lose.
Right. Because they don't care.
Because right then and there, their computer's broken.
They care about what their pain points are. What problems are you going to solve for them? Not exactly. What are you called?
Is that, I mean, you can call me Ishkabibble. I don't care. Just pay the bill. I'm going to get a flood of Facebook comments on this
episode. It's on a farm, so maybe it's Jimbo.
Ishkabibble, Ishkabibble, Ishkabibble. Everyone's just going to comment Ishkabibble. ISH. Kidding.
No.
We could talk a little bit about pricing if you want to get into it. Like, because we talked a little bit about the difference between MRR and not for MSPs, just like really baseline here. And we've said it in the beginning of this episode. And I said, is that just because you do MRR doesn't make you an MSP, right?
Right.
And to be honest, even if you're break fix, you should still have some sort of MRR within that. I think one of the best, I think, I know that Carl Palachuk has been big proponent on like the good, better, best price model. But after doing this for as long as I have and talking to so many people, if you're going to do just straight standard, quote unquote, MSP work, I have found that I have found, I think the best model in terms of margins, not top line revenue, but margins, is you charge a little bit per month plus hourly. So for example, you charge them $50 to $60, $70 a month per device to have the device in some sort of RMM, MDM, PSA, whatever. And then all work is charged hourly after that. That's going to be, I think, especially if you're small, a really good price model. If you get to another level where your business grows or your client grows to a degree where the per hour doesn't make any sense, then you can move to like a all-inclusive full plan where you're giving them almost an almost, you know, all you can eat kind of pricing model. And those are the two that actually our director's call, those are the two that we're putting together.
I mean, that is really a whole nother podcast though.
Stay tuned for the next episode where we talk about pricing models, because that's Eric's way of telling me to shut up and end the show.
And if you're a member of the Facebook group, please, actually, if you're not, if you're just a regular listener to the podcast, if you follow us on LinkedIn, go to atmsp.link/survey. We have a brand new member survey for 2024 because we want to hear about what you want to hear about. We want you to drive the content that Justin and I are producing and that we're putting on the live stream and everything else. We want to know what we can do to make your business better. atmsp.link/survey.
Can't say it better myself. You all know the socials, facebook.com/group/allthingsmsp. I've already mentioned the YouTube one 3 times this episode. Like, subscribe, follow, check us out. Leave a comment, do the things. That's it. That's Eric. I'm Justin. Bye.
And one last thank you to today's sponsor, Gozinta. Gozinta is supporting this community, not just this group, but the entire community. They are a family-run business, and we truly appreciate their support. For more information, go to atmsp.link/Gozinta. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. You can also follow us on Facebook, but better yet, go ahead and join the Facebook group. You can also follow us on Instagram if that's your thing. And make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel at All Things MSP to catch us in all of our video glory. And last but certainly not least, if LinkedIn is your thing, you can follow us there as well. And a special thank you to our premier sponsors, SuperOps, MoveBot, Gozinta, EasyDMark, and ComTech. And we also want to thank our vendor sponsors. The All Things MSP podcast is a BizPow LLC production.